Love
Hello,
this
is 050 on the radio. This is Thursday, January 20th, 2016. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. Boy, those words never ring more true than to this morning. Woo-wee. It was bad this morning. And when I mean this morning, I don't mean this morning when the sun rose. Oh, no. I mean this morning, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Last night, went out to see a high school basketball game, one of the best in the area, Gonzaga and DeMatha. If we can talk about that, we'll get it at the end of the show. And was stuck on I-95 for 4 hours. I left the game at 9 o'clock and did not get in the house until 3:30. That's right. So if you're out on the roads in the Washington metropolitan area, if you can do it, stay in. It is so bad outside. It is ridiculous. Look, I-95 was unmovable last night. So the froze, and it is just really, really bad out there. Woof! Something awful. Man, it was really bad last night. Saw a great game, though. Like I said, if I have a chance, I'll talk about it later. But if you're on the road, be really, really careful. And if you don't have to go out there, do not go out there under any circumstance. Oh, right. Man, well, we weren't here on Monday. MLK birthday. We will always observe that, especially that time of year. Well, we ain't going to go there, but they always observe MLK. So we didn't even talk about what happened last weekend in the NFL, the playoffs. Divisional round. The divisional round is always crazy. And the divisional round was, again, crazy again. And as we saw four decent games, hey, the Patriots took out the Chiefs 27-20. Tom Brady had another great game. I don't even know what to say about him. 28-42, 302 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know, it was his 17th multi-touchdown pass playoff game. That's 2 more than the next person. and it was his 30th postseason game. When he plays his next one, it'll be more than anyone in the history of the NFL. So Brady is also going to be making his 10th. Count them, his 10th NFC championship game. I mean, AFC championship game. Players, they sure did play well. And Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski, Edelman had 10 catches for 100 yards. Gronkowski had 7 catches, 83 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The Chiefs came close. Alex Smith threw the ball 50 times, which is not a recipe for success for the Chiefs. He was 29-50, 246 yards and a touchdown. But they didn't have Jeremy Maclin when it was really struggle time for them. Didn't have their running game like they normally wanted, and they still made it close. And then right after the game, lost their offensive coordinator, Doug Peterson, to become the coach of the Eagles. In other words, Eagle fans, you shouldn't have gotten rid of Andy Reid in the first place. But that's another whole situation for another day. And the Patriots went on to the AFC Championship game, and they will play the Denver Broncos, who somehow found a way to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, not have Antonio Brown, who did not have D'Angelo Williams, who was already subbing for Le'Veon Bell. Well, they out there, they had their third string running back, Fitzgerald Toussaint, and unfortunately he made the big play of the game with the fumble. The Broncos recovered, went down and scored the game with a touchdown. Peyton Manning was out there, did not have a great day. He only threw for 222 yards. It was 22, 21 of 37, 222 yards. He had a QBR of 35.9, his second lowest in NFL history. His second worst in his career. The Broncos, they had the most in the last 10 seasons. You have 6 drops in an NFL playoff game. Decide if you're going to the AFC Championship game. They did it. And Pittsburgh, despite all the losses, they came really close. Roethlisberger had a solid day, 24-37, 339 yards. He had a QBR 53.2. It's the highest he's had in a loss. I mean, Roethlisberger did not play badly. And Martavius Bryant had 9 catches, 54 yards. So that's the Broncos, and it is the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. In the NFC Championship game on Saturday, you had one of those games that you'll just be talking about forever. Hey, Green Bay was rocking and rolling on St. Louis. I mean, excuse me. Oh, man, that's really a Freudian flip on Arizona. And the next thing you know, Arizona scores. Then they score again. It's late game. It's over. It's 20 to 13. They get the ball. It is 4th and 20 on their own 9, and it is showtime. Rodgers gets the long completion down the field, and what does he do? He decides not to call timeout. No problem. And then we come up here. Okay, because he doesn't call timeout, he doesn't have time to get the team down the field. So it's Hail Mary time with 1 second left. And of course, he throws a touchdown pass like he did in Detroit. It is a game that goes into overtime. We get the coin flip, and the referee doesn't even flip the coin right. I mean, it's like, what is going on here? So you got to flip the coin again. Arizona gets the coin flip. They get the ball. First play from scrimmage. Carson Palmer scrambles. Okay, now you know this play is already crazy right there. Scramble, finds Larry Fitzgerald. He goes down the field, breaking tackle after tackle, stiff arm after stiff arm, 75 yards to the 5-yard line. My next play, shovel pass to Fitzgerald again. He gets in the end zone, touchdown. Arizona wins the game 26-20. In one of those games, you're like, man, I was there when I saw that one. Unbelievable game. Carson Palmer, 25-41, 349 yards. He had 3 touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions. Hey, how about this? Larry Fitzgerald, 8 catches, 176 yards. He scored 1 touchdown. He became the first wide receiver in NFL history to have 3 games over 150 yards. just unbelievable in the postseason how he is able to take his game to a whole different level. Aaron Rodgers, he was not bad, 24-44 for 261 yards. He had a touchdown and an interception. How about this? In his last 3 postseason games, or let's say postseason loss, he led the game tying drive only to lose either in the last drive of the game or in overtime. How about that? That Jeff Janis, he made himself some money. 7 catches, 145 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He was the only one catching the ball for Green Bay. They couldn't get anybody open. And Arizona will be playing the Carolina Panthers. Ooh, did they jump out on the Seahawks something fierce. 31-0. You had to slap yourself and say, 31-0. When the last time that happened to the Seahawks? And slightly, they came back. The Panthers held on 31-24. Cam Newton, he was sick with it. 16-22, 161 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had QBR 74.1. And it's crazy. But you look at the Panthers, and they go exactly the way Cam Newton goes. I can't even remember the stat. It's something like they're 36-12 or something like that. When he has a QBR 50 or above and 11-22 when it's lower. That's just crazy. So, well, whoa, we got a caller here, and we will get this going here. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Tommy, and I'm calling from Bowie, Maryland.
Okay. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm good. Man, I just want to call and ask you about my Georgetown Hoyas. I saw that they beat Xavier the other day, and I didn't think they played that bad against Villanova, except offensively. Do you think they turned the corner, or do you think we're going to get NIT bound?
Well, you went all the way to my last subject, all that happened today, and absolutely Georgetown was one of the teams in the mix. It's really tough to find a feel for most teams right now because almost every team right now has played some schizophrenic basketball. I mean, you look at Georgetown. You said, hey, they come up and they play Villanova. And I'm not going to say they played badly, but they hung in there all game, lost that one. And then they go in to Xavier, and they beat down Xavier. You're like, well, wait a minute. Where in the world did this come from especially the offensive production from Trey Campbell? He has 21 points. That came out of nowhere. He finally found his shot, finally been consistent putting the ball in the basket. They have to understand, though, that they got to play well every game, because it doesn't mean they're going to win every game, but they got to play well every game, because right now I think they are 12-7. Does that sound right? 12-7 now. Now, I think they're 5-3 in the Big East. They have second place all to themselves, but they got to stay there. They can't drop down because they got those losses to Radford and to Mountmouth and the UNC Asheville. But if you come up, if Georgetown stays in second place in the Big East, you come up and you say, well, hey, look at our conference. Look who we have going in the tournament. Villanova, they're going to be a Final Four candidate when it's all said and done, as good as they are. And then you say, well, hey, we're in second place all by ourselves. We have we have Xavier in the conference. We have Providence in the conference. Butler in the conference. What do you want us to do? So are they NIT bound? Right now they're on the I would say they're on the outside looking in, but I think if they stay in second place, right where they are, I think they'll make the NCAA tournament. They're a dangerous team with the way they play. They can give people a fit. They have inside strength that hardly anyone has. Jesse Govan has really started to elevate his play. Bradley Hayes has been one of the most improved players all season, but they have to get consistent guard play. Where is it going to come from? Is it going to come from LJ Leak? Been looking for that. Like I said, Trey Campbell, he came up, he stepped up his play against Xavier. That has been their problem all year long, in my opinion. Where is the production going to come from the guard? The guards have to bring something. We know Dez Arkins, but the guards have to bring something to the forefront. The front court, they've been doing their job for most of the year. The only time they didn't do their job was pretty much against Villanova, and that was a defensive wash. I mean, that was a game that was pretty much stuck in the mud. Neither team shot 40% and such, and I think Georgetown shot under 33%, and they could never get started. But the front court has done their job for the most part. Got to get something from either Campbell or LJP or even Khalid Johnson, who's come in and played good at times, but the front court has played well all year, so I think Georgetown has a shot. God, they're starting to go through the tough part of their schedule now, which people wanted to see. They took it and saved their victory so big. I think that is something that they can build on. And this team is not a bad team, but you can say that for so many people. But they have those losses that's going to hurt them. They have got the place in the Big East. They cannot drop down if they plan on making a tournament, in my opinion.
One last question, and I think I'm going to let you talk. My wife is a rabid Carolina Panthers fan. After seeing how they played in the second half against Seattle, do they have any shot against the Cardinals, seeing that the Cardinals can throw the ball all the way around the field?
Well, yeah, the Cardinals can throw the ball all the way around the field, but did the Panthers just turn it off? I mean, they were on. I don't think any team was more prepared for their game than the Panthers were in the first half. I mean, they just came out and blew the doors off Seattle, and Seattle didn't know what hit them. And so up 31-0, of course they're going to take the gas off the pedal, and you have to give Seattle credit. Russell Wilson never gave up. They kept fighting. Hey, 31-24. But if you look at Carolina, there is not a more balanced team in all the NFL. No one has a total package like Atlanta. They can run the ball, play defense, they can stop the run and the pass. They can get you so many different ways. And then they got the best playmaker in all of the NFL. I think right now they are the favorite to win it all. But, again, any one of the four teams can win it all. I'm about to give you my predictions in a little bit on Sunday. But anybody can win this. This is one of those years you just toss a coin and say, hey, the team that plays best in the next two games is going to win the Super Bowl. That's as simple as it is. Carolina, of course Carolina can win it. You look at Cam Newton, and I just gave a stat. When he plays well, Carolina plays well. When he doesn't play well, Carolina doesn't play well. Well, Cam Newton has played well all year long, and they won all year long. So, yeah, I'd say the Panthers can definitely win the Super Bowl. I give them immense possibility. I probably give them number one chance to win it out of anybody out there. How about that, Thomas? Is that good?
That's good, man. Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, appreciate the call and got to talk a little college basketball. We're going to get back to that in just a second. Going to get my predictions out there real quick. Look here. The Patriots, Broncos. We already know everybody's talking Manning and Brady. Brady, this is the fourth time they met up in a championship game. No one has done that in the history of the NFL. This is the number one quarterback duel in the history of the league, and I believe it comes to an end on Sunday. Hey, you come up here, it's going in Denver. We know Tom Brady. He doesn't have very much success in Denver. Never won a playoff game in Denver. He is coming up here, and he's going up against his main man, Peyton Manning, who is against his number one nemesis, the New England Patriots. We got people hurt. We got people fragile, and you know they're going to be hyped out of their minds to go to the Super Bowl. And it's in Denver. Do not expect a blowout in this one, ladies and gentlemen. It could happen. I don't see it. I see it being nipped and tucked the whole way. You do still have the Denver Broncos defense. You still do have the New England Patriots offense. They're deep at either. Check this out. I have the Broncos winning 24-23. The only reason I have them winning is that I have them turning over Tom Brady once. I have them turning over the Patriots one time. And if they can get the Patriots to turn the ball over one time, I believe they will score off that turnover, and that'll be game time. I don't believe Peyton Manning will turn the ball over. Matter of fact, I think they will be conservative beyond repair for the first three quarters. And then I think Peyton Manning will come up and say, hey, I have a chance to win this thing. I'm going to try to do it. 24-23 against the Patriots. If the Patriots score more than 24 points, the Patriots will win the game. That's what I'm saying. In Carolina, Cardinals, and the Panthers. Look here. In my opinion, you have the two best best players in the NFC rolling in terms of MVP candidates and Cam Newton and Carson Palmer. Y'all know I think Cam Newton is the MVP. I think Carson Palmer would have been third behind Tom Brady. Just absolutely fantastic playing by both of them. You have teams who are both well-rounded and really good defensively. They come after you on the pass rush, and they have dudes that can cover, might have the two best cover corners in the NFC, in Josh Norman. And where do we go here? Well, you know what I do. I'm going with the Panthers, 28-20. Cam Newton is just too good. Right now, there's nobody playing better than him, and he is just getting it done more than four ways from Sunday. I don't know how he's doing it. He doesn't have any wide receivers. Yes, he has a tight end in Greg Olsen. His running game has been like the Dow Jones, up and down. But the fact is, they find a way to get it done offensively, and the defense holds them down. So I had the Panthers winning 28-20. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit in the NBA real quick, and I guess this will be a little bit quicker now. Hey, what about what happened in Cleveland on Tuesday? Were you awake for that one? 132-98, the Warriors come back. NBA Finals, that was Monday. No, that was Tuesday. Okay. Hey, the NBA Finals rematch, and the Cavs get blown out. 132-98. It was the fifth straight for the Warriors. Steph Curry, he had 35 points. He would have had more, but he only played three quarters. Draymond Green, he does it again. 16 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. You see it rolling there. And if you can believe it, the Warriors were up by 40 points late in the third quarter. What was going on? It wasn't even a big one. All three of them combined for 27 points. LeBron had 16. Kyrie Irving had 8. Kevin Love had 3. That was about 21 listless minutes for Kevin Love. And so what happened now? Now, granted, the Cavs came back and they won on Wednesday night. But, man, they are really – people are going to be beating them up for a long time on this one. Got to talk about the injury to Joakim Noah. He dislocated his left shoulder. He already had surgery on it. He is already out for the season. Now what if you're the Bulls? Hey, you know Joakim Noah, in my opinion, Rose, whoever they're missing, they're going to compete. Now he's the one that's out. That should still have power to fall. You can put him at the center position. You can still do some things. But then what else after that? What happens to your depth? Do you take Taj Gibson off the bench, start him, or do you come up there and put Bobby Portis over there, start him, and then keep bringing Taj Gibson off the bench? Interesting decision that Fred Hoiberg has. We'll see what he does with that decision. All right, got to go up to New York. What's the opinion on Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher now? I mean, remember last year, 17-65, I mean, they were awful. Carmelo Anthony, he stayed. But then what about the draft pick? You come up here, you get Chris Paps Porzingis, who everybody scratched their head about, but he's been a fine. Matter of fact, he might be the rookie of the year. He and C. Carl Anthony Towns and Jahlil Okafor all by themselves in that department. Then you picked up Jerian Grant, who has been a solid backup point guard for the Knicks. And then there was the free agent picks you picked up. Didn't pick up high-dollar people. You've got Tyson Chandler, who is about as high-dollar as you got. You got Aaron Aflalo. You got Kyle O'Quinn. You got Derek Williams. You got Robin Lopez and Kevin Seraphin, 500 team now. Who thought that was going to happen with the Knicks? And the fact is, 500 usually makes the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Now, this year, it's been rough, so the Knicks are going to have to keep on going in order to get what they want. Whew. Okay. In college basketball, ooh-wee. Boy, there's nothing finer. That's right. The Hills, they are rolling. Won their 10th in a row last night. beating up on Wake Forest. Of course, that was even a bad game for Marcus Paige. Marcus Paige hadn't even been playing that well lately. And it looks like they will be the number one team. They do not have a real big-time opponent for a while now. So you better watch out. Carolina could get on a real big roll. Their first real big-time game, February 1st, they go to Louisville. And after that, that gets them really started because then they have all the big-timers in the ACC, including Duke twice. Yes, they got Syracuse. They got Virginia. They got all those teams rolled in the 1 month of play. So that's where they're going to have to earn their stripes. But right now, they are rolling on people, and people are having to like it. Yeah, I like that. All right. It was upsets galore this week. I don't know what was going on this week in college basketball, but it was upsets all over the place. Starting on Monday, you come up, you had Syracuse go into Duke and beat Duke with the camera crazies. Then you come up, the very next game on ESPN was Iowa State beating number one Oklahoma. Huh? What in the world is going on here? Well, that was Monday. Then you come back to Tuesday. No problem. Oklahoma State blows out Kansas. What? You got to be kidding me. Blew them off the court. Wasn't even close. Then you had, as we talked about, Georgetown beating Xavier. Again, they finally had some good guard play. Took out Xavier. That's number five. And then what about last night? Are you kidding me? Nebraska beat Michigan State? What is going on? Michigan State and Duke, when was the last time you seen them at the same time with three straight losses? I mean, you just don't even see that. What is going on here? Then you had Texas. They upset West Virginia. If you want to even keep on going, what about Villanova? They beat Seton Hall by 1 point. And then Baylor, they're at home against Kansas State. That game goes into overtime. I mean, it is pandemonium in college basketball. No one can get any type of footing out there. It is just crazy to be crazy. In the last 10 days, we've had 22 AP top 25 teams lose 22 times in 10 days. It has been one of the craziest times in college basketball you could ever see. I keep telling people, after you get past the first 5, 16, after that, everybody's even. From 7 to 35, even. There's just no difference in any of them right now. I look at Mountmas, and I'm like, Mountmas can play with any of these teams at any time with absolutely no problem. And that is one of the crazy things about college basketball this year. Ooh, picking up brackets, I want to see somebody get all those picks right this year, because it would be an absolute amazing feat for that to happen. And it'll be crazy. That's all I'm going to say. Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, let's hear. Our times have been fluctuating back and forth, so you're just going to have to tune in with us. We thought we were going to be in the afternoon. We thought we'd be in the evening. But right now, we can still be in the morning. That's actually the best time for us to be all the time. I'd rather be in the morning all the time to get it done in the morning. So we're going to keep on going for the mornings until we can. The big snowstorm in D.C. this weekend. Be safe. Toodaloo. Bye-bye.